Good day, and welcome to the Barrett Analyst Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to David Thomas. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year to you all. Today we are issuing our trading update for the 6 months ended the 31st of December. I'm very pleased to have our CFO, Neil Cooper, here with me. Overall, we've seen an excellent first half performance. Completions are up by 9.4% at 7,626. Net private reservations per site per week were strong, up 14%. Private ASP on completions is up 11% at 281,000, benefiting from both changes in mix and house price inflation. And forward sales at the half year now exceed 2 billion, up 20%. We're also very pleased with the operational performance of the business. We anticipate that first half completions growth will help rebalance the profile of the business. Our quality is being maintained and remains industry leading. Land and build costs remain under control, and we've had a very good run on land approvals. So let me give you some more details and colour. First of all, sales rates have been strong throughout the period. The net private reservation rate per site per week increased to 0.66 from 0.58 for the same period last year. Overall, we saw strong sales throughout the period in all regions of the country. Total completions, including joint ventures, were up 9.4%. That's a good first half performance. I'm particularly pleased with the progress, which is in line with the plans that we've previously outlined to smooth our completions, and we have around 45% of completions in the first half. Our guidance on full year volumes remains at 15,750 plus around 1,000 joint venture completions. Average selling price on completions are up by 11%, both for private and also total. Operationally, the business has dealt with the increases in completions very well, and we have maintained the high quality of homes that we're building. Our material supply chain has also performed well. The biggest pressure remains labour, but in line with previous guidance, we continue to expect build cost for FY16 to increase by 3-4%. Turning to the land market, we are continuing to secure outstanding opportunities that at least meet our minimum hurdle rates. We have approved £559 million of land during the period. That's 54 sites and 10,967 plots. We continue to expect to approve 16 to 18,000 plots for the full year. In terms of the balance sheet, net cash was around £24 million compared with net debt of £134 million at the 31st of December 14. We expect a net cash balance as at June 16 of more than £150 million. Finally, moving on to outlook, we have delivered a strong first half performance in a good market. The forward order book has improved to 2 billion, and this gives us a good position for the start of the second half. Operationally, we see that the business is in great shape. We remain confident in the execution of our strategy, aimed at disciplined growth, improvement of key financial metrics through a focus on efficiency, and delivery of attractive cash returns. So we are well positioned for further progress and performance, driving towards our 2017 targets of a minimum gross margin of 20% and a minimum return on capital employed of 25%. Neil and I will now be happy to take your questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Tretor Kugliec from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Three questions, please. The first one is on the completion guidance. I appreciate you're not changing, and I think arithmetically it implies you'll be down in the second half year on year. Obviously, with the order book as it stands, can we just understand whether there's perhaps a little bit of upside or whether you're quite robust on that guidance, please. Second question is just an observation on the average site size of newly acquired land, which has, I think, stepped up reasonably significantly. Is there anything we can read into that? Is that more conversion of strategic? Are you seeing more opportunities or more value on higher or larger sites? Any color that would be good. And then finally, you sort of make a positive statement about the starter homes. Some of your peers have commented it's quite early to say. Can you give us your read of the situation and how you think it'll impact your business? Thank you.
Okay, Gregor. Hi, good morning. I mean, I think what I'll do is if I take two and three, so I'll take the average site size and the starter homes, and then Neil can just confirm in terms of completion guidance. So in terms of the average site size, I mean, yeah, absolutely right. We've got a couple of sites that have come through the strategic pipeline in the period. The two sites are totaling about 2,500 plots. They will be clearly drawn down in manageable chunks, so they won't provide any strain in terms of return on capital or cash flow. The historic average we've run at is around 135, a bit above 135. When you adjust those out, that's around about 160, 165. So a little bit higher, but I don't think it's really signaling anything in terms of, you know, a change of strategy with regard to the intake of sites. Bear in mind that after adjusting for the two sites, it is just a six-month period. In terms of starter homes, I mean, I think we've got to put this in the overall context, and I appreciate you all had views from the other house builders, but putting it in an overall context, I mean, clearly the government are very focused on housing. They've taken measures to underpin housing demand. So, for example, the Help to Buy product, that's clearly providing a great product for the house builders and a very attractive customer offer. They've taken steps in terms of supply, so the unlocking of government land and the releasing of land to the market, which we see as being very effective. And they've also taken steps in terms of supply in relation to unlocking the planning system. I think in terms of the government's thoughts on tenure, then they're clearly keen on ownership, and they've set out a strategy that says 200,000 starter homes and 135,000 shared ownership properties, all sitting under the affordable housing category. So I think from our point of view, you know, we've got to be positive about that, positive in terms of the government focus on housing and positive in terms of them setting targets with regard to housing supply. In terms of starter homes specifically, it's not a tenure or a category that we are familiar with. The legislation is going to take certainly 6 months to get through and published, and we think it's too early to comment in terms of any specific effect in relation to the market, but we see it as being generally positive. I mean, Neil, do you want to pick up on
completion? Yeah, I mean, there's not much more to say than what we've said in our statement this morning, Gregor, which is that we're continuing to target 16,750, of which 1,000 would be JV.
Okay, but I mean, is there upside to risk-reward if you were a betting man, or perhaps you're not?
Used to be a betting man, but I'm not anymore.
Okay, fine, thank you.
Yeah, we'll have to see,
Okay, understood, thank you.
All right, thanks, Gregor.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Will Jones from Redburn. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Morning, guys. I think I've got three, if I can, as well, please. The first, just around helping us with first-half estimates. I think the last few years you've averaged a gross margin about 3 percentage points lower in the first half than the second. Should we think of a similar shape again this time? And if so, can you just help us understand why you are seeing such quite big swings when we look at, I guess, other numbers in the sector? And I guess kind of linked to that as well, there has been quite a skew first half, second half around overheads as well. So I guess any assistance ahead of February on those fronts would be helpful. Thank you. The second, I guess, on the land side of things, you've done quite a bit in the first half. I accept those two big sites have contributed, but I think over two-thirds of your target's done for the year. Is that a backdrop against which you can kind of step back and be more selective and maybe push your hurdles a little bit higher through the second half of the year? And then the last one was just actually around joint ventures. When you look at the order book, obviously it was there in November as well, but now I think there's about a 16% drop year on year in the volumes in the order book. I appreciate price is still up against that, but is that should we be thinking that maybe the 2016 is the high point for JV profits, or do you think it can still be another quite strong number again next year? Thanks.
Okay, well, I think what I'll do, Will, if I bat on those, I mean, in terms of the sort of estimates, I think the short answer is that we will clearly give you all the numbers in February. I think we've tried to steer away from giving everything in January because it sort of negates the whole February announcement. But in terms of the gross margin, I mean, we have, as you say, over the last few years, in large part because of our higher level of London delivery, we've seen a higher gross margin in the second half of the year. And we would still expect to see a higher gross margin in the second half of the year, but the step up will definitely be more muted. And I think that's for two main reasons. First of all, the degree of change that's taking place in terms of the switch from old land to new land is clearly becoming more muted. And secondly, if you look at our delivery in the first half of the year, We've stepped up the private delivery in London from round about 380 completions to round about 480 completions. So we've seen quite a big step up in volume in London in the first half of the year on a year-on-year basis.
Yeah.
In terms of the position on the admin overhead, I mean, our guidance for the year is at 145 million. So we've given that guidance. You're absolutely right. We'd still expect a significant skew in terms of first half, second half. So we're coming off a first half number last year, a shade above 50 million. So we, you know, perhaps expect that to be stepping up by around 10%. And we'll give final numbers in February.
Okay.
In terms of land, I mean, I think it's a question of balance. I mean, We did move up our hurdle rates. We didn't publish any information, but we did say that we'd moved up our hurdle rates in September 14. And that was really in response to the fact that we saw that there was some very, very good land opportunities. So, and we wanted to, you know, limit supply and make sure we were getting the best opportunities. We see that from where we are at the half year, We've had a couple of large sites, as we touched on with Gregor, coming through from the strategic land bank, but we clearly have scope to go beyond 18,000. But we're holding the guidance at 16 to 18, and we'll just look at the opportunities that come through in the second half of the year. In terms of JVs, again, I mean, I think we've always said on JVs that 16 and 17, given the current joint venture profile, that 16 and 17 will be the bigger years of delivery. So we're guiding current year at 60 million of delivery, coming off a prior year of 45, and I think we'd expect something similar in terms of 17. So I think we would still see 17 as being a strong year for joint venture delivery.
That's great. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Aynsley Lammon from Canaccord. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning. Just two from me, if you could. Firstly, just on trading, very early days, obviously, but wondered if you could comment on the momentum into this year, and, you know, early visitor rates, et cetera, and particularly London. Have you seen a kind of jump up in cancellation rates, anything relating to the stamp duty changes coming in, particularly for investors and the buy-to-let changes? And then secondly, just on the ASP guidance for the full year, should we expect an ASP similar to the kind of first half? I think you've previously spoken about 253, 255 type ASP in the order book. So just interesting guidance on the ASP for the full year. Thanks.
Yeah, okay. So what I'll do is, if I talk about trading, and I will just talk for a few moments and completely duck that question, and then Neil will talk about ASP guidance. I mean, in terms of trading, I mean, look, it is, you said it yourself, it's early days, it's the 13th of January, and I think it would be wrong to comment on terms of any specifics on trading. So I think the best thing would be, we're not seeing any big changes in terms of trading patterns, and clearly the trading patterns we've seen in the first 6 months on a year-on-year basis are very strong. So I think that's all I would say. I would just pick up specifically on the point with regard to stamp duty. So clearly we see that there have been a number of measures that the government have taken in relation to the housing market, and the vast majority of those measures have been very positive for the house builders. I think the focus of government is probably to encourage more home ownership, and some of the negatives that have come into the market in terms of the changes to stamp duty and how that affects prices at the higher end, in terms of the original stamp duty changes, the mortgage interest relief in terms of private investors in residential property, and most recently the 3%, are clearly negatives in terms of the buy-to-let investor. But to counter that, if you look in London at the 40% help to buy, that has now been confirmed as launching on the 1st of February. And we see that 40% help to buy will clearly be a positive. So our view would be that overall, we're probably in a situation, given our product mix, I mean, bear in mind in the first half of the year, our average selling price in London was £450,000. So we see these changes as probably being a net positive, but not necessarily a big net positive, but overall a net positive in terms of our London business. And Neil, do you want to just...
Well, I don't think there's much more to say, Ainsley, on the ASP, other than that we've got a couple of data points to work with. Obviously, what we brought into the year in the land bank, average 252, 253, and what we've delivered in H1, you know, marginally higher than that at 254. So in the absence of, you know, roaring inflation, those are reasonable numbers to be planning around.
So not much more mix improvement in the ASP going forward?
Well, I mean, you know, it's difficult to be too definitive because it does depend on what sites we take our completions off. But, you know, the broad math of numbers is suggesting around that sort of low to mid 250s. And certainly I don't see any material shift H1 to H2 that would change that.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Charlie Campbell from Liberum. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I suppose it's two questions, really. First of all, just to go back on the we've just been saying about Help to Buy in London. I mean, clearly, you know, London is a sort of, you know, selling off plan market, I guess, and mortgages have a sort of 6 month shelf life. So just wonder how you get around that in terms of the Help to Buy scheme, and does that mean you change the emphasis and sell a bit less off plan. And the second question was on labour. You said you sort of that was where the pressures were. Just wonder if you could sort of just give us a bit more colour on that. Sort of what you've seen labour cost inflation in the first half, and what you'd expect that for the full year. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. I mean, in terms of Help to Buy, I mean, first of all, you're absolutely right that selling forward clearly is relevant in relation to Help to Buy. So I think when you look at London and the participation of Help to Buy, if across the whole portfolio we're running at around 30% participation in terms of Help to Buy, then clearly in London levels of participation are lower. And the two drivers for that, well, there's probably three drivers in truth. One is forward selling, and the Help to Buy product is essentially limited to a 6-month period. The second reason is clearly price points, because Help to Buy will only go up to £600,000. And I think perhaps the third reason is just more of a general affluence in the market and less of a need in terms of Help to Buy support. So when we look at the 40% Help to Buy, I think relative to some of our peers, we are definitely not a company that is selling as far forward. So we have product availability where we have sites like Catford, for example, West Hendon, for example. We absolutely have price point, we have product availability on a 6-month horizon that will come in below a £600,000 price point. So we would expect that Help to Buy at 40% will result in incremental sales. But as I said, we're not calling it as a big advantage or a big positive, but we're certainly calling it as a positive.
Yep. Thank you. And then on labour costs, sorry.
Yeah, so labour costs, I mean, we've said overall 3 to 4%. I mean, I think there is two very different things happening. So first of all, we said in November that we felt that the pressure on labour in terms of inflation is moderating. And we're still saying that. I think there is less pressure. So we're not seeing the kind of escalation that we'd seen on labour costs if you went back 6 months ago or 12 months ago. The second thing is that, if anything, on materials, we're seeing, again, a reduction in the pressures on materials because of what's happening in terms of oil prices, the flow through into energy, and the flow through into transport. So particularly regarding, for example, bricks and blocks, for example, regarding window solutions and so on. But labour will definitely be at the higher end. I mean, we would have said previously that perhaps we were running 5 to 6% on labour. I mean, if you look at the stats coming through the ONS, then yeah, construction industry labour cost inflation, certainly, somewhere 5 to 7%. But again, some alleviation on where we've been.
Yeah. Okay, that's very clear. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, it is star one to ask a question. We will now take our next question from Kevin Kamak from Fencos. Please go ahead.
Morning, David. Morning, Neil. Happy New Year to you both.
Thanks, Kevin.
I'll just focusing a little bit on the size of the order book and your trying to sort of maybe relate it to a little bit to the movement in ASP. In the first instance, it'd be helpful if you could have a stab at where you're splitting that 11% ASP movement between mix and inflation. And I'm just sort of wondering to what degree that forward sold figure is about as optimal as it could be for the size of the group, and whether tactically you're looking at the business slightly differently today. And I guess part of the answer to that if it's available, is to highlight how much of the forward sale stretches beyond the current year.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me just try and answer that for you, Kevin. I mean, we've put in the appendices. So just referring to the appendix on the release, we've given a breakdown of forward sales, private, affordable, and joint ventures. Now, I think we've generally said that when you look at joint venture forward sales, I don't think you can read too much into joint venture forward sales on the basis that we've got a limited number of joint ventures in total now, round about 15. They tend to be relatively large, predominantly in London, and therefore the way that the forward order book moves will be clearly entirely dependent on where we are on any particular development from a build perspective. I think that the key number really to look at and the degree to which we are appropriately forward sold is to look at private forward sales. So what we're saying is, coincidentally, that private forward sales are up by 20%, in line with the overall forward sales being up by 20%. And we've got nearly 3,700 plots in forward sales. Now, the vast majority of those are for delivery in the second half of the year. So we're going to leave, perhaps 300 or something going forward from that point. So it's predominantly about FY16 and a delivery into FY16. I think at FY15, at June 15, we said that we felt we were in about the right kind of place in terms of forward sales. And it is a balance. I mean, the balance for us is partly to do with pricing, i.e. if you're in a rising price environment, you don't necessarily want to be too forward sold. But it's also to do with completion delivery and flattening the profile. So if we want to deliver completions through July, August, September, then, or through January, February, March, we have to have a reasonable degree of forward sales. And perhaps being something like 25% forward sold is where we'd like to be. And it may go a bit higher than that. I think in the current market, it's unlikely to go below that.
Okay. Can I just ask one other then? Again, this is not, it is not focused specifically on you, but more of a general question. The remarks that are being made about the land market, benign, the larger, very attractive opportunities that the whole industry still seems to be talking about. Could you give any sort of flavour as to, I mean, I know it's difficult, for an exact like-for-like replacement of land, etc., but on a nominal basis, would you hazard a guess as to what the change in land has been in the last 12 and 24 months?
I don't think, Kevin, certainly not on the call, I could give you figures in terms of specific, i.e. it was this, it's now this. What I would say is that if you look at the tracking that goes on through various sources, but I think the land agents, so Savills, Knight Frank and so on, there are indices that are published looking at average land prices in terms of regional prices, London prices and so on.
Yeah.
And I think what those indices would say is that for some period of time, the land prices in London have been moving out of line with house prices, i.e. the market is very hot and the land prices are high relative to house prices. And that's clearly been largely driven by land prices in Zone 1. And we've obviously said historically that investing in Zone 1, certainly in the last 12 to 18 months, has been very challenging relative to any maintaining hurdles and so on. I think if you look at the regional market, what that would say over the last 2 or 3 years is that land prices have moved in line with house prices, and I've certainly seen, proportionately they've stayed in line, therefore hurdles can be maintained. And I've certainly seen some commentary around land prices in the last 6 months that actually land prices in the regional market are falling i.e. they are now out of line with house prices, and therefore the land market and the potential to get expanded margins is even greater in the regional market. In terms of that supply-demand imbalance, i.e. how could land prices be softening, I think it is just a direct reflection of the amount of land that is being drawn from strategic land banks relative to the amount of land that is being purchased in the open market.
In view of that, are you not tempted to increase? I mean, you appear to be sticking with your budgeted spend on land this year. Are you not tempted to dig deeper into the pocket?
Well, I think we certainly have done that. I mean, albeit we had a couple of strategic sites coming through, but at the end of the day, it's still land, and they're in very attractive locations. So we have done that to the extent that we're up at nearly 11,000 plots in the first half. Now, we're holding the guidance presently for the full year at between 16 and 18, but clearly we'll have another look at that in February. I mean, we approve land every week. So when we get to the results in February, we'll again publish the numbers, and we'll have another look at whether we think the intake will run beyond 18,000.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Not at all. Thank you.
As there are no further questions in the queue, I would now like to turn the call back to David Thomas for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay. Well, look, I would just like to, first of all, thank everyone for dialing in. Thanks for the questions. Hopefully you'll see that we feel that we are well positioned for the second half, and well positioned in terms of our targets for FY17. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.